Hello, friends. Welcome to Beloved City Church in person, online, on the podcast. Thanks for being with us. And you know what? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays in this season. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, exploring Jesus or for the first time, or maybe you're a longtime Jesus follower, I believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you as well, to take one more step toward Jesus, toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself. Over the course of this current talk series that we've been exploring, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you've never have experienced yet or experienced before. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving to a life in Christ that is truly thriving. Friends, freedom does look good on you. The point scriptures that are guiding our exploration are found in the library of books we call the Bible today in the book of John. And it says this in John 8, verses 32 and verses 36. It says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and daughter and be unquestionably free." Well, that's my prayer and my hope for you, friends, in this series. Jesus repeatedly teaches us that when we believe on him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, surrendering to receive his unfailing, his everlasting, and his cascading love for you and I. He gives you a gift of life and life to the fullest. This life to the fullest brought to you by the Holy Spirit, who empowers you to continue living in the freedom as you follow Jesus. Freedom from sin and shame and brokenness. These things being absorbed by Christ when you believe in him and follow him. Meaning these things no longer dictate your thoughts and emotions and behaviors when you believe. The only way this though could work is with newfound power. Your followership of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Partnered with your faith, it's relational, it's freeing, it's a new life, and it is without earthly limitations, my friends. To help us navigate this life of living in relationship with Jesus, we have been exploring over the past few weeks how our frame of view, our choices, our approaches affect our daily lives. Walking in Christ, which is like eating from the tree of life, like we read way back when in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, helps us to walk freely in Christ rather than in walking in shame and guilt and with a victim mindset from eating from the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Understanding our design, our spirit, soul, and body, our design as a human being, helps us to live purposefully in spiritual order as God designed. And now we've begun unpacking heart blockages, those things that plugs us up, that prevents us from living in this overflowing posture that's full of life like Jesus promises. What prevents me from living in the freedom that Christ has gifted me to live in? So today, let's continue exploring what prevents our hearts from living in the overflowing and abundant life of Christ to the fullest in the tree of life in Christ Jesus. This is critical, friends, to our continuation of discovering what it means to walk in freedom. What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's from the Proverb 23:7. It's powerful to be able to experience freedom in our hearts. As our frame of view, our perspectives, our mindsets, our paradigms, our worldviews are being transformed by the Holy Spirit in us, our heart too will experience life to the fullness. What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, remember, the condition of our heart is often revealed by outward symptoms. Symptoms like giving into temptation or deep depression or angry outbursts, lustful appetites that I just can't satisfy, persistent anxiety, and so much more. When these symptoms are present, though, there are often deeper issues present that are associated with matters of the heart. I truly believe that there are four major heart blockages these heart issues are driving your symptoms. And these four blockages, which we mentioned already a couple times, but we explored selfishness, bitterness, we're going to look at rejection, and we're also going to look at evil thoughts. We looked at selfishness in the last episode, today's going to be bitterness. These blockages will prevent us from living in the freedom that we have been given or been gifted in Christ Jesus. Are you currently sensing that you are not experiencing the fullness of life and freedom that Christ promises you? Well, let's pop the hood. Let's look under the hood, so to speak, and see what might be the remedy. Yes, Thankfully, as I mentioned before, there is a remedy. You want to know what the remedy might be? The remedy for these four heart blockages: selfish is surrender, bitterness is forgiveness, rejection is words of life, and evil thoughts is cleansing by the Holy Spirit. So surrender, forgiveness, words of life, and cleansing by the Holy Spirit. On the last episode, we explored what it meant to remove the heart blockage of selfishness. And this is a tough one, friends, I know. And it's not the willingness to share kind of selfishness, but like when you're 3 or 4 years old, but selfish ambition, things that we face for the whole spectrum of our lives, self-aggrandization, self-ambition, self-promotion. We must actively surrender our selfishness, our self-lived lives to God to remove this blockage of selfishness. Self-indulgent living will always plug up your heart, plug up your relationships, plug up your communication skills, plug up your perceptions, preventing you from living in true freedom, friends. And today, man, we're going to talk about bitterness. Bitterness occurs and blocks our hearts when we hold on to our hurt that's caused by another person. To live in freedom, we must learn how to live a life of forgiveness. That's how you negate or combat bitterness, is by forgiveness. To remove the blockage of bitterness, we need to have forgiveness. Unplugging my heart and letting forgiveness flow out of me like rivers of living water. So let me just pray for a moment that Jesus would touch our hearts as we listen today and as we watch and we participate. Holy Spirit, we invite you even right now to show us, to change us, and to fill us with your love and with your forgiveness. We truly know, Jesus, from experience that we humans continue to wrestle and grapple with the ability and willingness to let go, to let bitterness go by living forgiven, to forgive. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for what you're doing in us. Friends, amen. I hope you have your Bible with you and your notepad out. I do believe if you are willing and you want to participate today, you will learn something from the Holy Spirit today that you will want to write down so you can remember and you can go back to it and learn it again. You will need to revisit it. Let it read you. Let it change your neural and spiritual and physical pathways today, friends. So grab your notebook. Bitterness, which is an anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. It's like resentment is what it is. I often remind myself and my family that discouragement and disappointment is really unmet expectations. Bitterness and resentment can settle in for the long haul, friend, as you all know, like I too know, become part of my character over a period of time. If I am living in the present unaware of what is going on inside my thoughts and my emotions and my memory bank, all I can do is continue stuffing this stuff down sometimes by feeding my body cravings, by allowing my soul to dictate my daily rhythms, my spirit man barely surviving because I'm feeding the wrong spiritual order. Bitterness, though, or this disappointed anger or frustration or resentments are a direct result of harboring unforgiveness. The right to be right, maybe, the right to be treated fairly, the right to fill in the blanks. And some of these are good things, but sometimes we harbor them, we hold on to them, and we cannot let them go. I have expectations. Don't they know better than that? I expect better of them. Bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It's like lighting myself on fire and hoping that my disappointing relationship dies from smoke inhalation. Bitterness is like an offense gone wild, like a rabid wolf, the bait of the enemy Satan, trying to keep you in bondage, friends, stuck in this perpetual state of emotional bankruptcy. Nothing left to give away. Gratitude is foreign to me. It's awkward and extremely uncomfortable. Bitterness, friends, is ugly. It results in behaviors like building greater and bigger and unscalable walls in my life to protect ourselves and myself from pain and rejection. There is no way that's going to ever happen again in my life, right? I've said these things, I'm never going to let that happen again. No one's going to be able to get that close again. They might let me down again. Yeah, the truth is, though, God never designed us nor meant for us to live in this manner of protection mode. We often think that it's up to us to protect ourselves. So we do it. We build all kinds of emotional walls, physical walls, spiritual walls even, to guard our hearts. But God designed us to live in relationship with Him. And out of the overflow of that relationship, He takes on the responsibility of protecting you, of guarding your heart. Philippians, a book in the New Testament. It's actually a letter written to the Philippian church. Philippians 4 and 6 to 7, Paul's writing, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and wisdom, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I know you've heard a proverb before, guard your heart, friends. Yes, what you're guarding there is your temptations and your desires and your passions. You're taking actual action to say, no, I'm not going to go down that direction. No, I'm not going to take part in that. But this one, what we're talking about is don't be anxious about anything. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When Christ lives in you through the Holy Spirit, the peace of God will protect you and guide you and guard you and I. When we believe in Jesus as followers filled with His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit injection into our lives transforms us, transforms our ethics, transforms our behaviors, conforming us into the image of Christ. That's the will of God for you and I, friends, that our lives be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. We call it sanctification. You will have peace that surpasses all understanding and wisdom, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Wow, friends, the Holy Spirit at work in you is providing peace and guarding your heart with that peace. So you may say then, well, why do I still struggle then to forgive? Well, here are some reasons I believe that we're going to explore today, and I believe will help you learn about forgiveness and unforgiveness. Here's a couple. First off, we have the wrong idea of what forgiveness is, okay? We don't think it's fair to let someone else off the hook for hurting us. It's another one. And we don't think that we can actually ever forgive on our own strength. So these are some reasons that we're going to explore. Book of Ephesians, in the New Testament portion of the Bible we call today, Ephesians 1 and 7 says this, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins." Wow, freedom that was purchased for us. Friends, we live in a fallen world. We've all been hurt and rejected and suffered. The realities of offense, words and deeds of others have wounded you and I in ways that are indescribable. Neglect and abuse and violence, resentments, betrayal and cruel words. These hurts can cause bitterness and resentment to build up and to plug up our hearts. And sometimes, even unintentionally, we harbor unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like a slow-moving poison moving through our blood veins that takes time. But as time passes, the poison settles into our very thought patterns, our cognitions, our behaviors, and our emotions, cracks under pressure, seeps out, and often paralyzes our ability to live in freedom, to love freely, and to be loved receptively. Beautiful to receive love. What a beautiful place to be. Proverbs 18 and 19, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle." How many of you have attempted to have a conversation with an offended individual? Or maybe this has been you, responding with defensiveness. Maybe I'll even throw a few stones myself over the wall. No, you did. I know. No, you are. I can't believe unyielding the things that we say in those defensive moments, in those defensive posture. No, it wasn't me. You did it. Right. Well, humility is not my strong suit. And sometimes we can walk in weaknesses. I can be resistant and barred up and walled up like a castle, a defensiveness. Bitterness resulting from hurt and offense. Pain is like the luring bait of the enemy, trapping us into this bondage. When offended, we become this unyielding, we won't relentlessly unyielding, strong city, walled up, relying on every protection and mechanism in the book to protect ourselves from hurt, thinking that we are actually protecting ourselves, right? Well, friends, walling up our heart does not work the same way as walling up a city for protection. Our heart of flesh and blood, when in protection mode, keeps out the unsafe feelings, but it also prevents us from experiencing love and freedom. So it's not accomplishing what we are hoping for it to accomplish. When we protect ourselves and erect walls of protection, we're actually keeping ourselves from being able to express love and to receive love and to experience walking in love. True freedom. God never meant us to live in this way. This is truly a view and a life lived from the wrong tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's all kinds of shame and regret and fear and rejection. Rather than in the tree of life, there's freedom, friends. Can I get practical for a few moments here? Here are the reasons that we may struggle to forgive in our lives. The first one, we have an incorrect idea or definition of forgiveness. To truly understand forgiveness, let's see what forgiveness is not. So let's look at what forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense, friends. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. Offering forgiveness to someone who has wronged you is not saying, no worries, or not a big deal. It didn't really hurt, right? What was done or said was not right, and harm done to you does not reflect the Father's heart for you, friends. God's perfect will is to protect you and to care for you, to love you and to nurture you. When you choose to forgive, you are choosing not to hang on to the offense because it robs you of this freedom. So we can choose to forgive. Forgiveness is letting go of the offense. Now, next one. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. I know some of you love to remember and bring it up every time you have a conflict with your spouse or with your child, but forgiveness is not forgetting anyway. So sometimes we think that in order to forgive someone, we must forget. Forgive and forget is the Christian cliche that holds no truth, by the way. The reality is you may never forget the offense towards you or the things that were done to you. But God wants to do something amazing in our lives through the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring hope and healing to our hearts in such a way that as we remember the past experiences, we do so without reliving the pain associated with those memories. God wants to make all things new in you and I, friends. For me, I personally know that I am experiencing healing in my life when I can actually talk about it and not experience the same emotions now as I did then. It takes time, friends. My heart is healing. Okay, here's another one. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. We often think that when they apologize, I will finally forgive them. In this thought process, we actually hold ourselves hostage to the very one that wronged you because we are leaving our freedom up to somebody else. Letting go of an offense or releasing yourself from maintaining and grooming this offense does not mean you must reconcile with the person. Romans 12 and 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. See, if an offender is not ready to reconcile, it would only cause further pain when you continue to expose or re-expose yourself to the same circumstances. So what do? We invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and to comfort us and to guide us and to allow the miracle of forgiveness to happen inside of us, inside of you. Reconciliation is a two-way street, friends. If you have forgiven someone and desire to restore the relationship, ask God for his wisdom and use it throughout the process of reconciliation if it becomes a two-way street. Here are some identifiers to recognizing if the other person is willing to participate in reconciliation. Friends, this is key in some of our lives and relationships. So here's some identifiers. If you want to know what does it look like if the next person or the other person is willing to participate in reconciling this relationship, the first one is repentance, turning away from wrong actions, going the opposite direction. Is that person or you, are you making different decisions? Are you turning away from working in the wrong actions and going the opposite direction? Restitution, making things right if possible. And the third one is rebuilding of trust, proving themselves consistent in words and action. Reconciliation is what we're talking about. So Again, here are the reasons that we may struggle to forgive. A second one, we don't think it's fair. How many of you have thought it's, I can't forgive, it's not fair for me to forgive that person? The second reason we don't offer forgiveness to those who have hurt us is that it doesn't seem fair to let that person off the hook for the pain they inflicted on us. We often reason within our own minds that they don't deserve forgiveness, but God doesn't use fairness logic or doesn't hand out forgiveness based on merit. So thanks, Lord, as truly I don't, none of us deserve forgiveness. Every one of us can think of things that I've done or that we have done in our own bodies and lives and relationships toward other people that forgiveness was actually granted for, whether by someone else or by God himself. Give that same forgiveness that you have received, friends. Can you, like any one of us, need to learn how to give it away? Maybe it's not fair. Oh, well, let God deal with the fairness aspect of it. That's too much responsibility for you and I to carry. Vengeance belongs to God. Matthew 18, 21 to 35 says this. This is for Jesus, the context of Jesus speaking here. First Peter came up to him and said, up to Jesus, said, Lord, how often will my brother sin? So Peter's asking Jesus, God, I need to ask you some information here about forgiveness. How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? You think that's a good number, Jesus? But Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's like a kajillion dollars in today's world. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's like a couple bucks comparing to the 10,000 talents or the kajillion dollars. So he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. Sound familiar? Man, this is crazy. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him back and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me, and should not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Okay. Well, thanks, Jesus. I don't know if you are like me in this situation, reading this context, reading this story, and you wonder, so is that 77 times in total? Is that like for my whole life? Is that 70 times seven for a lifetime? Or is it just for a day? Or is it that Jesus told Peter to forgive 490 times a day? That's like once every 3 minutes. Maybe that doesn't seem too far-fetched if we consider actually how fast our mind races in a day. Most of us are stretched to forgive for a third time in the same day. We got three strike rules most of the time in our lives before losing our cool. I know some of you are way more righteous than that. I get it. Hey, the point here is to freely forgive as we have been forgiven so much more, a kajillion dollars over a couple bucks. Wow. The first debtor was forgiven his debt of millions of dollars. The king canceled his debt. And this debtor who just had his debt canceled, he too had a debtor who owed him hundreds of dollars per se. And this forgiven debtor would not show mercy. Sounds like us sometimes, doesn't it? We too have had such mercy, grace, and forgiveness, love shown toward us. By the blood of Jesus, our debts were paid in full. We were reconciled or restored back into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our relationship was restored with God, our Father in creation. Yet sometimes we still struggle to remember that we too have been forgiven and our debts have been completely canceled. And so we still, what do? Sometimes we still hoard on to that right to be right or that right to be whatever it is, to hold on to our offenses. When we begin to understand how forgiven we are, how loved we are, that we are in a relationship with God, reconciled, debt-free with God, we too can be extenders of that same grace and love, a conduit of God's grace, a pipeline changing the very atmosphere of our lives right here and right now where God has put me and planted me. So ask yourself, would I trade my forgiveness from God for the right to hold someone else accountable for their offense toward me? Mm-hmm. Third reason that we might struggle to forgive, we don't think that we can do it. We don't think that we can forgive, that we are powerless to forgive. This is a lie from the enemy who is attempting to deceive you. Silence the lying voice of your adversary today, friends. Yes, in my own human power, I may not be strong enough to forgive the great wrongs done against me, but I don't have to walk in my own strength, right? Not by my strength, but we can walk in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural strength of God. This is very different than walking in my own strength, in my own humanity. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. Let's see what the scripture has to say for us in this moment. My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness. For when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. It's Christ, the power, the resurrection power of Christ living in me. I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on both, on every side, and I'm facing persecution because of my love for Christ, by the way, not because I'm being an idiot, but because of the love of my love for Christ, I am made stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Friends, this is beautiful. I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted. Because of my love for Christ. Something incredible happens in the midst of my struggles. The power of Christ is at work in me. We are not turned into doormats through forgiveness. On the contrary, forgiveness makes us victorious in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a thought first. Emotions and feelings will follow. Spirit, soul, body, in order, taking my thoughts captive and make them obedient unto Christ. If we wait to feel like forgiving, friends, then our soul and emotions are dictating our lives. If we dare to believe God, choose first to forgive, those feelings will follow in submission to your spirit, man, will follow your decision instead of living reactionary. We can live purposefully and intentionally choose to live in the tree of life. I'm running out of time today, and I, man, this has just been so good, walking through forgiveness and bitterness being reconciled by giving forgiveness away, the same forgiveness that we have received. This will need to be continued. There's so much more to explore. So on the next episode, we will continue to explore forgiveness, how to make healthy choices that your feelings will follow. I want to give you some practical tools under the leadership of your redeemed spirit, man. So in this moment, will you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you so much for dying on the cross and making a way for us, for me, to be in relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you for freely absorbing my sin, my brokenness, and my shame. I choose to receive your extravagant life, gift of life and forgiveness, and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and the leader of my entire life, of all my rhythms and patterns, my motivations. Oh, Jesus, I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your spirit and help me live the life that you died for me to live. Turn my face, my eyes towards you, Jesus. I want to be in relationship with you. And I want to walk hand in hand with you. Holy Spirit, would you reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I have held on to bitterness and unforgiveness, resentments, and the unwillingness to forgive? Reveal to me, Jesus, how unforgiving mindsets is blocking my heart from all that you have for us, I surrender these to you today. Show me, continue to reveal to me your truths. Holy Spirit, change me, fill me with your Spirit, soften my heart that I may walk in newness of life to the full. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Hey friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and your leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. Hey, if you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by baptism in water, let us know. We want to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in us and in those around us. Oh, I love it. It's so much fun to be a part of. Will you take a step to partner with us with your time, your energy, and your finances with us at Beloved City Church? Help us to continue and grow the day-to-day ministries here at Beloved City Church. Faith without works is dead faith, friends. Together, we can work out of our faith. We can make it official. Join our Big Table family. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Learn more about Beloved City Church. Jump on the web at belovedchurch.ca. And you can help us make it work. Join the Grow team. Serve alongside a team right here at Beloved City Church. And you can help us make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider giving financially today to help support the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church? Thank you so much for your generosity of your time, your energy, and your finances. Friends, we love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in such a special way today. In Jesus' name, God bless.